If you would, turn to Matthew chapter 6, and verse 5 through 13 is our opening text as we go through this series on prayer. And I trust that it's been a blessing to you. This is our third message in this series here. Tonight we're going to talk about the why and the how of prayer. In Matthew 6, verse 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth thee in secret, shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they should be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Prayer is just so special. He mentioned in these verses numerous times, speaking of God as the child of God, as a Christian, He is our Father, which art in heaven. Isn't that special? And He longs to hear from us. Now, we're privileged to have the young folks in here tonight. There's no class tonight. And young folks, listen to me, prayer. The prayers of a child oftener get through to the heart of God, oftentimes more than hard-hearted adults' prayers that get through. Our Lord tells us that even to be saved, you have to have the heart of a child. The heart of a child is so pure. They have not been tainted as much yet. I know they're still sinners, but they haven't got the things that the world tends to do to us hardening their hearts yet. They still believe. When the Bible says it, they still believe it. And when they ask God for it, they expect it. Amen? And that's the heart of a child. And that's the way we should be. And that's what our God wants. He wants us to be involved in prayer. It's like I talked last week about the intimacy that we have in prayer with God. It's an intimate time to be able to pray with our Father. And although there are 7 billion people in the world, not counting the billions that have already gone through this world, He has time just for you. He wants to hear just from you. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that? Father, as we go into Your Word this evening now, Lord, I ask that You would bless me. Father, You would use me as a vessel that would honor the Lord Jesus Christ and lift up His name, that would stir the hearts of Your children to the importance of prayer and how much You long to hear from them, how much You can do through prayer, how special it is to us. I won't get through all the verses tonight, Father. They'll take home what I don't get through, and I trust that on Your behalf they'll go through it at home this week and realize how special it is, Father. Lord, bless now, Lord, as we go into this lesson. Encourage the hearts that are here and drawn and lost to Christ. I ask in my Savior's name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Why and how do these Scriptures affect your prayer life? As you go through these Scriptures, they should impact you to realize the importance of prayer, how special prayer time is, how much power is gained when we spend time in prayer. Now, when we pray, all three personalities of the Godhead, all three persons of the Godhead are involved in our prayer. In Jude 1, verse 21 and 22, we're told that we are to, and if you turn there with me just briefly, Jude 1, in verse 21, it says, keep yourselves in the love of God. Now listen to me. If you have a relationship with someone and you don't keep the communication open, you're not going to stay in love like you could very long. But when you keep the communications open and you keep that intimacy and communication there, the love doesn't just exist, it actually grows deeper and fuller.
And so we're to keep ourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. As we sang a minute ago, I'm only a sinner saved by grace. I thank God for His mercy. Amen? Jude 1, verse 20 and 21. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. You see, you're to pray in the Spirit. You're not going to get much prayer life in the flesh. If you want to have a prayer life that is going to change your life, that is going to affect your life, that God's going to hear and that God's going to answer and that God's going to move and He's going to move you and He's going to do, it's got to be a spare prayer life in the Holy Spirit. And when you do that, again, you keep yourselves in the love of God. You keep that intimacy in that relationship. The love grows and gets fuller and specialer and sweeter. It doesn't just exist, but it goes beyond what you could have even imagined. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And thank God, as we sang a minute ago, I'm only a sinner saved by grace, for His mercy. So we're praying in the Holy Spirit. We're to pray in the Spirit. But not only are we to pray in the Spirit is involved in taking our prayers to the Father. Romans chapter 8, but Romans 8 and verse 26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit, that's capital S, the Holy Spirit, itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us in prayer that even goes beyond our understanding of how effective and how important our prayers are. The Scriptures state that the Holy Spirit accomplishes this in prayer in accordance with God's will for your life, in the will of God. We are moved in this sort of prayer closer towards, more active in the will and purpose of God in our lives. Listen, you're here for a purpose. As a Christian, God didn't leave you here just to have fun, just to go through the trials of life. He left you here as a shining light of the Lord Jesus Christ. He left you here to be a testimony, to testify, to show the world what someone who comes to Christ, what can happen to their life. How you can forgive them. How you can cleanse them. How you can make them a new creature. Give them a brand new life. Give them eternal life. Forgiveness. Pardon of sin. Redeemed. And then what God wants from you. And every one of us here, I know it involves souls, but every one of us, it involves us differently. For some of you, God's put you in a job. And that's your workplace, that's your mission field, that's your Jerusalem. For some of you, you're keepers at home. And you have children at home you're raising. And that's one of your earliest mission fields. If you don't reach your children, well, I'll tell you what, I'd rather reach my children more than I would reach anybody else. Amen? I want to see all my children in heaven. That's your Jerusalem. Some of us may be called to full-time ministry, and we have a ministry as a pastor, a missionary, an evangelist. If you have a class, or a bus route, or anything, you're used in different ways. The neighborhood you live in, the places you shop, God's got a will for you in all those areas. And prayer helps you to find that out, and to look for those opportunities to think, here's someone that God has directed me to, and now I can be a witness. That's what praying in the Holy Spirit can do for us. It can bring prayer before God that we don't even know how to word them. We don't even know how to state them. We don't even know how to pray sometimes. And He intercedes for us. Aren't you glad? And then number two, the second person of the Trinity, the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son, John 14. John 14 in verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever he shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If he ask anything in my name, I will do it. So we're praying in the Spirit, and we're praying in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's going to glorify the Father. And if you're praying in the Spirit and you're getting in the will of God and you're praying in Jesus' name, when you're asking for those things, you're asking for the right things. You're asking for the things that are spiritual, the things that are pleasing to the Father, and He's going to give those things. Amen? If you look at me at John 15 and verse 16, "You have not chosen me," our Lord says, "but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask in the Father in my name, He may give it to you." You want to know what the best way, one of the best ways to get your prayers answered is? Be a soul winner. God loves soul winners. That's the purpose why we're here. The most precious thing you can be to the Father in heaven is a soul winner. You're reaching souls that His Son gave His life and blood for. If what you're doing with your life is not involved in reaching souls, then what is the purpose of your life? And so when we come, we pray in Jesus' name, we remember He went to that cross for souls. If it hadn't been for His blood that bought us, that paid for our sins, we would not have access to the throne room of God. God would not hear our prayers. But because of the precious blood that was shed by the Son of God, when we pray in His name, our prayers are heard by the Father. Aren't you glad? John 16 and verse 23. "And that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it you. Hitherto you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive." And why does He want to answer your prayers? Why does He want to do things for you? That your joy may be full. But nothing's more exciting than having God answer your prayers. Well, winning a soul. Not to answer a prayer too. Amen? But when you pray for something and God answers it. And He says, "These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly the Father. And that day you shall ask in my name. And I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father Himself loveth you, because He hath loved me, and hath believed that I came from God, out from God." And so we come in the name of Jesus, because there's power in His name. The devil trembles at the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The demons tremble. They know their fate is sealed. They know that we have been blood washed, that we have been redeemed, we have been purchased. They know we belong to God. And one of the things that makes them tremble the most, I believe, is when they see the Christian down on their knees praying to the Father in the Spirit. Because they know when that happens, the place is going to be shaken. Things are going to happen. And then, of course, there's a third part of the Trinity, and that's the one you're praying unto. Matthew 6:9, in an opening text, we pray unto God the Father. We pray, "Our Father, which art in heaven." So you're praying the Holy Spirit in the name of the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to God the Father. The Trinity. The great three in one. Now, the why and how of prayer continued. The rest of these verses are just going to be things that prayer does in our lives. Things that hopefully we'll realize, I can have that in prayer. That I can find in prayer. My friends, yes you can. As we look at the things tonight, all these things it says here, you can find, you can have happen, you can have in your life through prayer. The first one is 2 Chronicles 7:14, and you know that one. I'm praying this for America tonight. Oh my, I'm hoping that America would repent and turn. But it starts with me. It starts with you. 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14. "If my people," and that's who the Christian, the child of God is, He's our Father which art in heaven, so we're His people. Amen? "Which are called by my name," we're called Christians, Christ-like, "shall humble themselves," and prayer is humble, and it's admitting that you need help. That you ain't got the smarts, you ain't got the talent, you ain't got the strength, you ain't got the know-how. You're going to fail without Him. Without Him, the Bible says, without me, you can do nothing. But Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." So we humble ourselves and pray. And when you go to in prayer, it's intimate time. "And seek my face." That's intimacy. And seek my face. God says, look me in the eye. Let me take hold of your face. Let me show you how much I love you. It's an intimate time. seeking His face. And turn from their wicked ways. Oh, listen, when you get focused into the face of God, and you're looking in the face of God, and He's looking back into your face through prayer, it changes perspective. It makes you want to please Him. And if you're going to please Him, it makes you want to get rid of the sin in your life, doesn't it? And that's the wickedness. And I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin. And not just forgive their sin. I want you to listen that when we as Christians collectively, as a church, as a nation, He says, will heal their land. It starts with me. I'm the one that I control. You're the one you control. But when we do it collectively, it becomes a group that affects us much more. That's in prayer. Isn't that wonderful? The hope for America is you on your knees. You can't stay on your knees and being seeking the face of God without wanting to turn from your sin and without wanting to go tell folks about Him and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and what He's done for you. You can't keep it to yourself. It just comes natural. Psalms 34. Psalms 34 and verse 17. The righteous cry. Who are the righteous? All our righteousness is filthy rags. So what happened is God imparted to us the righteousness of Christ. When you got saved, He clothed you in the righteousness of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That makes you righteous. It's the saved. It's the redeemed. It's the born again. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Sarah, you've got 7 children, all various ages. If they were outside and the neighbor kids were playing with them, and one of them cried, "Mom, help!" You would not only hear that cry, you would know which one it was just by the cry. Am I right? They all sound different. Steve, is it like this? No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. But listen, they're all different. A mom, you can pick babies together. And a mama can know the sound of her own baby even when it's in the nursery crying. Right? That's mine. You see, the righteous crying, God says, "I know that voice. That's one of mine." And those one of mine, I know exactly which one it is. And if you heard out there in the yard one of your children cry out in panic, "Mom," what would be your reaction? "Mom, help," and it was a panic tone. What would be your reaction? You'd set a record getting out there to see what was going on. Amen? And you cry out. God's already on His way. That cry there is, it's a panic. I'm in trouble. I need help. It's kind of like riding down a road and seeing someone come at you in your lane, all of a sudden you say, "Lord, help me." That's all you can do. And all of a sudden, miraculously, you miss each other. And you realize, God heard me. Amen? The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them. And I want you to listen to this now. I want you to, you may want to underline this word. Deliver them out of all their troubles. Our pastor in Hanover, Dr. Richard Bish, used to say, "All means all," and that's all means. It means all. Amen? All their troubles. You got any troubles tonight? Had you cried unto the Lord? "Help me, Lord." Like Peter on the water, took his eyes off Jesus, began to sink, and cried out, and the Lord in His mercy grabbed him and took him up, didn't He? Isn't that wonderful? Psalms 50. Psalms 50. I'm not going to get through very many of these because we're already out of time. Psalms 50 and verse 14. "Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble." Now God says, when you're going to call upon me, make sure you're thankful to me and make sure you're doing for me what you told me you would do for me. Don't be ungrateful. Don't be selfish and not show God gratitude. And don't break your word to God and expect God to hear you. But if you will offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High and call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee and thou shalt glorify me. I will deliver thee and thou shalt glorify me. Where do you find that deliverance at? That's in calling on the Lord. In Psalm 30, verse 14 here, you have to call, you have to cry out, right? Where's that done at? That's done in prayer. It's the only way you can talk to God is in prayer. You may be going down a road and your eyes may be open. And you may say, Lord, help me. But it's a prayer, isn't it? And the more time you spend in prayer, the more deliverance you will find. Do you need deliverance tonight? Do you need victories? You can find some more of them in prayer. Let me look at just a couple more here in Psalms 102 and verse 17. And I won't get through these tonight. You need to say, I would encourage you, take these home and read them for yourself and write down there what they mean to you about your prayer life. Just let God speak to your heart. But Psalm 102 and verse 17. He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. You know, Christians in this world that are sold out for the Lord don't usually have a whole lot of this world's goods. Now, sometimes God blesses, amen? And we have best of both worlds, don't we? God blesses us here with much, and we have much more over there. But sometimes, people right now that are out there in the mission field, or people that are out there serving the Lord, they pass up promotions because they won't do things they know are wrong. They lose their job because of things. In many nations right now, they're paying for their very life. They're destitute, aren't they? And what does it say here? It says here, He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. You know, God loves to help the helpless. I'm glad I'm helpless. Without Him, I can do nothing. Amen? And let me tell you something. There may be folks that when you look at them, they seem to have everything. But if you would get them to tell you the truth about their life, they still feel destitute because they're empty without Christ. Amen? And if they'll just turn to Christ, He will hear them. Psalm 145. Psalms 145. And verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him. To all that call upon Him in truth. Well, you might want to write out next to that James 4, verse 8. Draw nigh unto God, and He will draw nigh unto thee, right? He's nigh. When you go to prayer, you're drawing nigh unto God, and He's drawing nigh unto you. He will fulfill, listen to this, verse 19. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear Him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. You mean, I can get whatever I want from God? Well, hold on here now. Them that what? Fear Him. So you'll be afraid to ask something sinful. Right? That solves that issue right there, doesn't it? But if you're fearing Him and doing that which is right, He will fulfill the desire of them to fear Him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. Oh, I can tell you time and time in my life when I thought about something, I said, God, that would be so precious if I could just have that. And God say, I can do that. It's happened time and time and time again. It's in that prayer time. You want to know the times when we don't get that? When we're so busy enjoying what we do got, we don't continue to pray. So prayer, it's important. I'm going to stop there. I don't want to keep you late. I know you all work hard during the week, but can I ask you, prayerfully, take us home. Maybe do it as a family together. Maybe do it individually. But go through these verses that are there this week. Maybe in your devotion time. Just sit down and look at these and write out the next to those verses on that paper that you have how that affects your prayer life, what it will do to your prayer life, what it will encourage you to do in your prayer life. If you will do that, you have no idea what could change in your life. You have no idea what you could become for Christ. You have no idea how far you can take your life for Christ. You have no idea who you can win to Christ. You have no idea how high up in this world you could go for Christ. Amen? You might be able to testify to kings and presidents on behalf of Christ. My God is able. He's done it time and time again in the Scriptures, hasn't He? And He can do it. And so it comes in prayer. So my prayer is that through this series on prayer, we'll be a more praying church. Perhaps we'll even understand what the songwriter wrote when he wrote, Sweet Hour of Prayer, sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care, that bids me about my Father's throne. Amen? Oh, listen, I don't think there's many Christians in our generation that could truthfully sing a song called Sweet Hour of Prayer. But if we could, I believe this place could still be shaken like it was in the book of Acts. I believe Waynesboro could be shaken. I believe America could be shaken. I believe the world could be shaken still. Amen? And it starts in our private prayer, in our prayer closet, and our public prayer together as a church. It starts in praying. I'd like to encourage you, when you come into the church services, just when you come in, just take a few brief moments and just kneel at the altar before the service and just say, God, will you bring down your power upon us today? Will you bring in the lost? Will your fire go forth from your word and from the pulpit? Will you stir hearts? Will you save the lost? Will you call preachers? Will you call missionaries from amongst us? Will you do something today amongst us, God? I think if God's children will come in before service and pray that way, well, that's a desire of His heart, our heart, that He would get answered. Amen? The reason that we don't get those things often is, as much as we talk about it, we don't always really desire it. Or we would do something about it. And prayer is where it starts. So I'd encourage you, pray. Pray. And pray. Friend, if this message has been a blessing to you, or if we can help you in any way, please contact us at the Antrim Faith Baptist Church, P.O. Box 129, Zellinger, P.A., 17272. Or if you're in Waynesboro, Pennsylvania, visit us at our church, 248 West 2nd Street, Waynesboro, PA, 17268, at the lower level of the Renaissance Building. We'd love to have you stop in with us. If you'd like to email me, it's Pastor Herb, PASTORHERB, at Embark, EMBARQ, mail, MAIL.com. Thank you very much for listening. Lord bless you, and have a great day.